My guest at this time is Ohio Republican Congressman Bill Johnson, a freshman representing the Buckeye State's 6th Congressional District. He is joining us today to talk about the big debate that's going on Capitol Hill this week, and that's the extension of the current payroll tax rates and exactly how the funding ought to work for that, what should be attached to that. Just on Tuesday, House Republicans approved an extension of the existing payroll tax rates while also attaching approval of the Keystone Pipeline from Canada, which some estimates suggest could create as many as about 130,000 jobs in this country. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
You're certainly welcome, Greg. Good to be with you today. Thanks for having me on.
Well, the one thing that both parties seem to be in agreement on is that they want the current payroll tax rates to persist for at least another year here. The big question, of course, is what the offsets will be for that. Republicans want to cut spending. Democrats want to raise taxes on the wealthy. Do you see any common ground emerging right now?
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head. We in the Republican-led House believe that it would be most irresponsible to have Americans taking home less in their paychecks when they are struggling so hard under President Obama's economy. With unemployment still hinging around 9%, Americans are hurting. And in my district, in eastern and southeastern Ohio, that unemployment rate creeps up to double digits, some of them up 11, 12, 13, 14%. So I could not justify allowing that payroll tax credit to expire. And the good news is, though, Greg, is that this is being paid for. The bill includes cuts of about $183.4 billion in government programs, and it's being paid for by, for example, pay freezing federal workers, including members of Congress, on our pay, limiting government benefits for millionaires and billionaires, and targeting fraud, waste, and abuse by reforming entitlement programs. So for the first time, I think, if I've got this right, in American history, we're paying for a tax cut in advance, and that's a good thing.
What exactly is their tax increase proposal on the wealthy? Is it marginal? Is it that their payroll taxes wouldn't go up? But what exactly is their proposal?
Well, they want to tax the wealthy. You know, they want to tax America's job creators. And it really has nothing to do with the payroll tax credit extension. They have been marching down this road for months now, wanting to find a way to tax America's job creators. And that would be equally irresponsible. Those are the ones that we're asking to create jobs. And how can they do it when the federal government continues to put so much uncertainty on it? Greg, I got businesses all up and down my district that are sitting on cash, waiting to grow their businesses, and they're saying, look, I don't know what the federal government's going to do. I don't know what this president is going to do through his regulatory processes that are strangling America's businesses, and I don't know what's going to happen with this payroll tax credit and how that's going to affect things. How can America's businesses create jobs under that kind of uncertainty? And that's what we tried to solve yesterday.
How big of an issue would this payroll tax be if it got reverted to last year's rates on the businesses in your district, in terms of obviously the amount that's paid for workers and for employers? How big of a difference could that make in decisions to hire?
Well, it's going to make a big decision. You know, you're talking about small businesses, and small businesses are the backbone of America. Most jobs that are created in this country are created by small businesses. And with that kind of uncertainty, they're going to sit on their money and they're going to sit on their opportunities until they see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Sir, we've seen this already a couple of times this year with the continuing resolution back in the spring. We saw it with the debt ceiling debate. We get close to deadlines and ultimately something gets done. Do you get the sense that there's any momentum right now over the next couple of days that the government's going to be funded?
Well, what we need a Senate that will act. You know, it is unconscionable to me that here we are, this is the United States of America, the largest economy, the most powerful nation on the planet, the one that everybody else in the world looks to for fiscal responsibility and the roadmap to prosperity. And the Senate of the United States is approaching 3 years without having passed a budget. We've tried to solve all of these problems, Greg. We've got 26, I think the latest number is 26 jobs bills that are now sitting over in the House. It may even be 28 jobs bills that are sitting in the Senate, stacked up like cordwood. The president goes around the country road testing his claim that America can't wait. Well, if America can't wait, and oh, by the way, we agree with that, I agree with that, the businesses in my district can't wait, why won't the president tell Harry Reid, look, you've got a budget for 2012 that's sitting on your desk. It's called the Path to Prosperity Budget. It solves many of the problems that were brought forward by the credit agencies. It begins the process of tax reform to let Americans keep more of what they earn and businesses to keep more of what they earn. It begins tax code reform so that, we've got one of the most onerous corporate tax rates in the country. It begins the process of saving and preserving Medicare for future generations and making sure that current seniors keep the benefits that they've earned. And it begins the process of balancing the budget. So why wouldn't the president do that if he were really concerned about the fact that America can't wait? Instead, he wants to put a roadblock up to one of the most viable, shovel-ready projects in the Keystone Pipeline.
How would that impact your state? I know that we come from Canada down to Texas. What would be the impact on Ohio?
It's going to impact everybody. You know, there's talk about that pipeline carrying, and depending on which expert you listen to, anywhere from 800,000 to over a million barrels of oil per day, essentially eliminating U.S. dependence on Middle East oil. And when you talk about what that's going to do to gas prices, according to an analysis by the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Energy for Policy, and I quote, he said gasoline prices in all markets served by refiners would decrease, including the Midwest. Now that's Ohio. You're talking about cheaper gas prices at the pumps. And that would benefit the people of my district greatly.
Last question before we let you go, sir. You mentioned the frustration that you have with the Senate and the president not moving on some of the ideas that you've forwarded on to the Senate as the Republican-led House. When you talk to your constituents back home, do they understand the dynamics, or are they just seeing that ultimately things aren't getting done?
Well, it's twofold. One, it takes a personal conversation, which I've done many of them. I have telephone town halls where I talk to my constituents. I have face-to-face town halls. And when I sit down and outline for them what we have put in place and what we have sent to the Senate and the fact that the Senate is not responding, they get it. However, my district is comprised of somewhere between 600,000 to 700,000 people, depending on whether you're talking the current district lines versus the future district lines. And I can tell you that they are disgusted with the political partisanship that's going on in Washington. They sent me here to change that culture, and that's what I'm trying to do. It's a frustrating, frustrating situation.
Well, Congressman, we'll certainly keep following it this week. We hope you get to spend Christmas back home with your family, but we'll see how long it takes for things to get sorted out here. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me on.
Very good, sir. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Ohio Congressman Bill Johnson represents his state's 6th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.